Welcome to Brad Tuttle Ministries Podcast, a place to be inspired and encouraged to live your life all out for Christ. Here are your podcast hosts, Brad and Jana Tuttle. Welcome to Harvest Life 101, class number 2 of 5. I am Pastor Brad Tuttle, and I'll be teaching today on the subject of change. You know, last week we talked about the fact in class 1 that after conversion, after we come to Christ and believe into Christ, that awesome miracle that takes place in our life, that things are going to begin to change. In conversion, we are born again. We are, in fact, born again into a new life, into a new kind of life. And how awesome is that? The emphasis that this new life of the new believer is different from the life that we used to live. And that's the key here about this teaching today, that we're going to learn that we now have a new life, a new beginning, and our life's going to change, but it's going to change, obviously, for the better. We've been changed through our conversion, and thusly changed people are going to live in a new and changed way. So it should not come as a surprise if we think back to our conversion, remember what happened, and we understood what was happening, that we were separated from God. There was eternal death there. Our sins were forgiven. Christ came. He died for us, rose again. Now through the substitution of Christ on the cross became the bridge between our fallenness and holy God. So now we have this now new relationship. We formerly were not in a relationship with God, but now we are. And now our new life as a believer is going to be different. I'm different. I'm different than I was when, like I said in our first class, I gave my life to Christ at 27 years old, and instantly I became changed. I mean, there were things that began to take place, changes that began to take place in my life that were immediate. And it's awesome. It's very exciting. And you certainly understood that you were called to repent. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." So I repented, and thusly my life was turned. It was turned back around, 180-degree turn. I changed my thinking then about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. He became more than just, somebody who just lived on the earth, and I knew about him. Or I remember at times before I believed into Christ that I would just go to the nativity scenes at Christmas time, and all Jesus really meant to me for 27 years of my life up to my conversion was just a plastic baby in a manger. But my life was changed. I understood who he was now. I understand who he is now and what he did for me on the cross and in his resurrection. So from that point on, from the point of my conversion, I was committed to change my actions, to turn my back on sin, and to live a new kind of life. Now, in this subject, in this aspect, in this topic of repent, if we mull over what it means to repent, we're going to understand that on one hand, it means to change our thinking about who Jesus is and what he has done. In conversion, we change our thinking from Jesus just being some, like I said, some historical figure, some plastic baby in a manger at Christmas time, to believing that he's God. That's repentance. It's a change of mind. So repentance, on the other hand, is it's not only changing our minds, but it's also the commitment to change our lives and our actions. So when we come to Christ, we're converted, we repent of our sins, our mind is changed about who Jesus is, but also there's a commitment to change our lives and our actions. Repentance is the commitment to turn our backs on sin and turn towards God and live new kinds of lives. So in our conversion, we repent of our sins. Forgiveness is there. We immediately gain a commitment in our lives to turn our backs on sin and turn our lives towards God and to live this new kind of life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the second part of the verse, 9b, it says, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." This is what repentance is all about, and this is what brings the change we're talking about in class 2. It's that repentant heart, changing our minds and then making a commitment to change our actions. And as we understand this concept of repentance, we're going to say, well, of course my life as a new believer has to be different because I am different. perhaps in addition, you understood that you'd been dead in your sin. So when we understand that we were once dead in our sin, Christ made us alive. So the very core, the very essence of who I am has been fundamentally changed. And now I'm living the life of a person who's going to be different from the life of this dead person I used to be. I'm now alive in Christ. And that's what's so awesome about being a believer, about being about that conversion experience, about repentance that takes place in our life, and that change that happens, that we've gone from being literally a dead person, dead in our sin, to Christ making us alive with a new future and a new hope. And man, it's just awesome, you know, and we realize that our new life as a believer is going to be different because, as I said earlier, we're different. So my life as a believer, the moment that I had conversion, the moment that I was converted to Christ, that I accepted Christ and conversion took place, I became different. But there's a lot more that happened to me and happened to you than you probably realized. Let me fill out this picture of conversion a little bit more fully. I want to help all of our understanding, our picture of conversion. For some of us, it's going to be a review, but let's open this up a little bit and make this a little fuller. For some of us who are new in the faith, or some of you who are new in the faith, your response is going to be, that happened? God did that for me? I didn't know that. That's amazing. And it is. It's absolutely amazing that God, from the beginning of time, had this plan in place to give us a way to be to come to Him again in relationship after what Adam and Eve had done in the garden and their initial sin. I want all of you to realize who are listening that the more we see and understand the change that God worked in us, whether we fully understood it or not at the time of our conversion, the more we're going to naturally understand that our new lives must be different from our old lives. So whether we really understood it at the beginning, I didn't fully understand everything when I first gave my life to Christ. But, you know, as we move into this more, it's just a natural understanding that your new life must be different than your old life because you're now a new person in Christ. So our new lives as believers are going to be different again because we are different. Before conversion, we understand that it was God who drew us to Himself. We were guilty. There was emptiness in our lives. There was what some people refer to. There was a hole there that could only be filled by the presence of God, only be filled by God Himself. John 6:44, in this understanding that God drew us to Himself, John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." It's the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit who enabled us to respond in faith. And when we did respond in faith, within our actual conversion, we were rescued from the kingdom of darkness and we were brought into the kingdom of light. My sins and your sins were completely forgiven. We were justified. This term justified is an awesome term. It's a theological term that it's actually a legal term, meaning that we were acquitted of all of our guilt and all of our sin. That God the judge, as we stood before God the judge, He forgave us of all of our sins. So isn't that awesome that when we were converted, we were justified. And when we were justified, we were acquitted of all of our guilt and all of our sin. That's what Christ did for us. We were free from all condemnation because on the cross, Jesus' death absorbed, listen to this, Jesus' death absorbed God's entire wrath against our sin. So now we can stand before God the Father, holy God the Father, righteous God the Father, without condemnation. And there's no one that can condemn us before God the judge because Jesus in His death absorbed God's entire wrath that was against our sin. And again, that's why I get so excited about serving the Lord, because I know what He did for me on the cross. He took the full wrath of God that was intended for me. He took that upon Himself. So we are justified in our conversion. We were redeemed as well in our conversion. Now this word redeemed is a term from slavery where Jesus' death on the cross paid the price to secure our freedom so that we are no longer under the mastery of sin. You and I were redeemed. So we're no longer a slave to sin. We've been redeemed. Christ Jesus, His death on the cross, paid the price to secure our freedom. So in our actual conversion, we were justified, we were redeemed, and we were sanctified. And it's this sanctification has to do with, I may not always act like I need to, but even so, in my conversion, I was made righteous before God. Jesus' holiness, his righteousness was imputed to me at the time of my conversion. So it's like here I was with this, wearing this dirty coat of sin. And when I was converted and I believed into Christ, it's like that old filthy coat was taken off my back and I had this beautiful coat of righteousness that was put over my shoulders. And then from that point on, when God the Father sees me, he sees me as a righteous person. Yes, as we're going to talk about later on, we mess up, but we still stand in righteousness. There still needs forgiveness there, but not the same as it was in our initial time of needing conversion. All that happened to us when we said yes to the claims of Christ in our life. Justified, redeemed, and sanctified. And our sanctification process just keeps on going day by day. And we're changed from one degree of glory to another day by day, become more like Christ. All this happened. It all caused me to be what we call born again. I was made into a new creation. I was adopted into the family of God. God adopted me as his child. I'm in a new family. I've been given a new inheritance. I have a different home now. My home is heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I was given the Holy Spirit as a helper and a guarantee of God's promises. And that's another awesome thing, that when I was converted and all these things happened to me, when I was redeemed, I was justified, I was sanctified, the Holy Spirit came to live in me. And now he acts as my helper, and he's the guarantee of God's promises in my life. And of course, after all this is going to happen, like we're going to talk about in detail now, there's a change. We're going to be different. It can't possibly be the same, because now, after all these things we just talked about, I'm not the same anymore. You're not the same anymore. That ought to be exciting to you if you're listening today, because you're not the same person you were. You've been redeemed, justified before God, sanctified, made right, in right standing before God the Father. Where you were once fallen, you're now in right standing with God the Father. That is awesome. In Romans 6:2, regarding the aspect of I'm not the same, it can't possibly be the same because I'm not the same, the Apostle Paul said, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Again, sin no longer has mastery over our lives anymore. And that's what's awesome about this whole aspect of conversion, is the fact that we have been changed into a brand new person, into a brand new creation. So now we're going to begin to walk as a disciple. We're going to begin to walk in what we would like to call a life of discipleship, or another word is we're followers of Christ or learners of Christ. A lot of times when people ask me, am I a Christian? Obviously I say yes, but sometimes that term Christian to me is too broad. So many people call themselves Christians that know nothing really about what Christianity is. I like to call myself a believer. I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm a believer in Christ. But this whole aspect of discipleship, living a life of discipleship, it means you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a learner of Jesus Christ. And one thing I really want to make a note of here is that this relationship and this new life of discipleship is not like a spiritual spasm or a one-time event. Conversion that we talked about last week is the first crucial step in your brand new life. And it doesn't end there. Mark 8:34 says, if you want to follow me, Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to be a Christian, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. So this is now we step into a brand new life of discipleship, a life of change, a new beginning. That now, when, like I said, when I gave my life at 27 years old, I was converted on that early Sunday morning. And from that moment, that's just the first step, conversion. Now, I've been living for Christ these last over 20 years and changing more and more every day. But it's been a life of change. It's been a life of discipleship. I pastor a church now. I've been in the ministry for over 21 years, and God has just done great things in my life, all because it started back in that place of conversion, of believing into Christ, and then all the changes began to take place, and God just began to use me to do really great things. But part of this whole aspect of living this life of discipleship it depends on something really important, that we must relinquish our will. Imagine this, perhaps something really, really unfair happens to us, and our natural response may be, hey, I'm going to get even, that wasn't right. I'm going to teach that person a lesson. And then once again, we hear the words of Jesus, a sinless man who was crucified, who was treated even more unfairly, he says, not my will, but yours be done. So when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, about ready to go to the cross, he said to the Father, remember, Jesus did not sin. He was in a place where it wasn't fair to be judged or crucified. He was treated even more fairly than we're ever going to be treated. But he said in the garden to the Father, it's not my will, but yours be done. So you and I, the same, are called to relinquish our wills and to respond with kindness and humility. So in the case of where I'm going to get even, that wasn't right what you did to me, it's not our will be done, it's God's will be done now. And in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Again, Ephesians 4:32. So now we don't respond like maybe we would have responded before with, I'm going to get even. But now we respond according to the will of God now. And we respond in kindness, tenderhearted, forgiving other people as God in Christ has forgiven us. We may be hurt, we may be angry, but not my will, but yours be done. So we forgive. It's been unfair. I'm going to get even. Not my will be done. I'm going to show kindness now and humility. Why? Because I'm not the same person. You're not the same person. You're changed. So this change causes us to act different. It causes us to give up. It should cause us to give up our will, cause us to react different, talk different. So I give up my will now for the will of God in order to live this life of discipleship. Another really important aspect about change and how this life of discipleship should be portrayed, or what our life now will look like as a disciple as we walk in change, is a phrase called the fruits of the Spirit. And when I talk about the fruits of the Spirit, or when I even talk about the Spirit, and I talk about that with a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about obviously God's Spirit, or this one called the Holy Spirit. So we're now, as we've been converted, we now walk in this life of change. This life of change is now going to be taken over by the fruits of the Spirit. It's not going to be our will. We're not going to react the same way we used to. We're not going to react in anger, but we're going to react in kindness. We're going to forgive. We're going to be patient. We're going to be good. We're going to be meek. We're acting different, because what happens is, now that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we begin to react in our lives with this change, and part of that is portrayed by the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How do I explain that, this aspect of the fruits of the Spirit, or this aspect, first of all, of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you a couple words how to possibly explain that. First of all, we as Christians believe in monotheism. Mono being only or one, and theism meaning that we believe in God. So we're a monotheist. You listening right now, you're a monotheist. So you learn something new about yourself. We believe there's only one God. The Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So we are monotheists. We don't believe in multiple gods. We don't believe in, let's say, local pagan deities. But we believe in one God, and his name is Yahweh. But we also believe in the Trinity, or another word, triunity of God. We believe in a Trinity not because it makes sense to us, but because the Bible does, in fact, teach it. This aspect, this amazing, mysterious aspect about God, and this is leading us to the Holy Spirit, is that God is, he's Trinity. And in a word, that means threeness. And what the Bible teaches is that while God is one, there are also three persons in God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's very important to understand that each one is fully God. Obviously, God the Father is God. God the Son, remember we talked last week in class one, that God the Son, Jesus, was God. But as well, the Holy Spirit is also God. So each one is fully God, and each one with a distinct work and a job that that he does, and yet there is still one God. We believe this simply because it's the only way to understand the Bible. This is a mystery that we're not ever, no one on this face of this earth can fully comprehend or explain the mystery of the Trinity or the triunity of God. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to ask God, "What? Show us that," and it'll be made more clear then. But I don't even know if we'll fully understand it when we see him face to face. Hopefully, we'll be able to grasp that. But we believe that there's one God, and yet he is three. Not three gods, but three distinct persons, co-equal and coexistent, co-eternal within the Godhead. The third member of the Trinity that we just mentioned is the Holy Spirit. So it's God the Holy Spirit. And this is the one that we're talking about when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, capital S. The Holy Spirit places these fruits in us. And this is the Holy Spirit who drew us to God. The Holy Spirit is the one who enabled us to respond to the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerated us and gave us new lives. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and empowers us every day of our Christian walk. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that gives us the power to live as a believer, that guides us each day, that helps us with our wisdom. But as well, he empowers us to be able to live this new changed life. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to bear fruit. Therefore, we have the fruits of the Spirit. So it's him inside of us now that gives us this ability to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, which represent change. Now, we know who the Holy Spirit is now. He's a third member of the Trinity. What is this aspect that we were talking about, this term bearing fruit? Well, let me try to explain it this way. A healthy fruit tree produces fruit. So also a healthy Christian's life will change. These changes are the fruit. So as we are converted, believed into Christ, we are now in repentance takes place. We repent of our sins. We turn and now begin to live our life for God instead of we used to live our life against God. There's a change that takes place. And this change is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he empowers us to bear fruit. And these are the changes in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit," or in other words, the changes that the Holy Spirit is going to affect in our life or your life now, this is what your life is going to look like. So in 5, 22 and 23, here are the fruits of the Spirit. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and last but not least, self-control. And I don't know about you, but when I was initially converted, I began to see changes immediately took place in my life. No one completely comes to a place of perfection. No one will ever achieve that until they're with Christ, but you're going to begin to see changes in your life. I really saw self-control begin to come into my life. I was able to control some of the things I used to do that came out of my mouth. There was self-control there. I began to love where I used to have anger. I was able to forgive. I did truly have a new joy, and I began to walk in this aspects of peace. So many of you that are listening to this, you may have already started to see some of these changes. You new converts, seriously, you probably have seen new changes. If you're truly a believer, there's going to be some change there. And obviously some of you who are older in the Lord have seen a lot of changes take place. And sometimes the process is slow. And, you know, we stumble along the way because none of us are perfect. But changes do begin to take place. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's empowering us to make those changes. But I will say this, is this change automatic? What is my role, if any, in this aspect of changes taking place? Well, to answer the question, is this automatic? No, it's not automatic. Actually, we need to understand that the mastery and tyranny of sin over us has been broken. So in reality, we don't have to sin. The truth of the matter is that sin is still present. But the thing about it is, you understand that we have this Spirit of God that lives inside of us, but that sin nature is also in there, what we'll call the flesh. We'll learn about that later. The flesh is still there, and that's where that temptation to sin and do things we're not supposed to do is still in us. It's still present. And the thing about it is that sin is not passive. Our flesh is not passive, but it's an active force, and it seeks to destroy our future, help us, cause us to make bad decisions and do things that we know we shouldn't do now that we're new in Christ. So first of all, the answer to is this change automatic is no. The change in our life after being converted is not automatic. We can fight it and we can win at our own peril, but the change that God wants to affect in our lives is not automatic. When you and I became Christians, the mastery and the tyranny of that sin had over us, as I said, was broken. We no longer have to sin, but this sin is still present, and this sin in our lives is not passive, or this flesh in our lives is not passive. It's always working against us. Paul talked a lot about the battle that went on inside of him over his flesh. One of the lessons that I've been learning, and I've learned in my life, and I've talked to other people, is that for some reason, you know, people will have this picture that sin is in there, still in us, or that flesh nature, and it's passive. It's just lurking around in the recesses of our mind. But sin isn't passive. It's active. It's aggressive. And it's going to do everything it can to cause us to stumble, to cause us to mess up, to cause us to blow it. And when you and I became Christians, we were moved out of the kingdom of darkness, glory to God, into the kingdom of light, hallelujah. And we immediately made an enemy, didn't we? And the enemy that we made, his name is Satan. And understand something. He's a formidable enemy. And the moment that we were pulled out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, he then became our enemy. And he didn't care what we did before we were converted, because we were basically living for him and doing what he wanted, or just sin in our lives, separated from God. He didn't care what we did. But the minute we became a child of God, the minute we were converted, we became his enemy. But we got to understand that Jesus is greater than Satan is, and he has conquered him already. But Satan did not like losing us from the kingdom, and he's going to fight to try to mess up our lives. And, you know, again, there's this flesh aspect, this sin aspect in us that still wants to try to cause us to stumble and to blow it. And since we've made an enemy, again, he did not like losing us from his kingdom, because, see, now we're in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness anymore. And we can't make these changes that we've been talking about on our own. It's not automatic, and we can't make them on our own. God's not just sitting there saying, okay, you know, now that you have love and you have peace, you know, just try to do this on your own. Somehow we feel like, oh, there are all these things I have to do. That's not what's going on. There is this marvelous, what I would call middle position, this biblical position that says God is going to be at work in you, and he is going to be giving you new desires, desires he will give you the ability to accomplish. So the Holy Spirit is always going to be at work in you. And he's always going to be giving you these new desires. And these desires that he's going to give you, he's going to give you the ability to accomplish them. But he calls us to cooperate with him. And I'm not talking about salvation. We didn't cooperate with God in any way in our salvation. We were dead at the time, Holy Spirit. We were drawn to God by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit regenerated our hearts. We biblical faith. We placed faith in Christ. We believed into Christ. We were converted. We repented of our sins. Remember, justified, redeemed, sanctified. We had nothing to do with that. That was all Jesus and the Spirit of God working in our lives, all the Trinity working within us to bring that to pass. But however, when it comes to these areas of Christian growth and changing, God does give us the abilities. And then through the power of his Spirit, he enables us to move forward and take the next step. But we must take the next step. That's the unfortunate thing, that many times you see people will come to Christ and there's no stepping forward on their own. There's a real lethargy or a real lack of desire to go forward, where the Holy Spirit is probably prompting and urging, make a change. Here's a new desire. Don't be the way you used to be. I think there's nothing more sad than to see a Christian, that someone who's been converted who doesn't have this driving desire to change. Man, all I know is when I got converted and I figured, you know what, Jesus did this for me. My life has been changed. He did all this stuff for me. I got so excited. I wanted my life to change. I wanted to be different. I realized the Word of God told me that I was more than a conqueror. And I didn't want to be. I realized that I wasn't the same person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creations in Christ. And knowing that, that just drove me to want to live a life of constant changing, to grab a hold of the fruits of the Spirit and let them be portrayed out of my life. I wanted to be and still want to be everything that Christ has made me to be. He went through all that for me so I could be free. I want to make sure that I'm going to live my life fully for Him, that I'm going to be a man of God that lives. Whether I was in the ministry or not, I want to live my life as a man that lives the fruit of the Spirit every day of my life and lives in change and constantly working toward change. I never get lethargic. That's why I pray every day and spend time in the Word every day. And I want to change. I want to change. I want to be everything that the Lord has made me to be and designed me to be. And I want to do all these things because I'm driven because of what I know He did for me. So in this area of Christian growth, God gives us the abilities. And then through the power of His Spirit, He enables us to move forward, but it's up to us to take the next step. And there are two strong verses along these lines that I want to give you. One is Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. This is where Paul's talking to those that are in the church in Philippi, and he makes this statement: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, we're not earning our salvation, but we're doing the next thing. We're working out the consequences of our conversion. Let me say that again. This is sometimes a misinterpreted verse, but Paul says to the church that is in Philippi, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. In other words, we're not earning our salvation. So you're not working out your salvation, you're not earning your salvation. That's already been bought for us by Christ, but we're doing the next thing. We're working out the consequences of our conversion. Then he says, for it is God who works in you. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Now that's incredible. So the God who creates the galaxies with distances beyond human comprehension is at work in us. This same majestic, awesome, incredible God that put the rings around Saturn and gravity on the earth and all these things that go beyond the comprehension of our human mind as He put the trillions of stars in the sky that we see. This same God, right now, if you're a believer, is at work in you right now. He's at work in me right now, helping me do this teaching to you. Before I started to do this teaching and record this, I said, Holy Spirit, empower me to do this. He's at work in us right now. Paul says that God gives us a desire, and then He gives us the ability to do it. You and I, we can't do it on our own, and God knows that. He says, it's said in the Word of God that our frames are but dust, the psalmist says. But having given us the desire and then the ability, he then says in a passage like Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, because remember, all that God has done has been done in His mercy. Goes on to say, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In other words, don't be conformed to the world. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. So don't be conformed to the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. What does it mean not to be conformed to this world? In other words, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your mind be renewed today. As a matter of fact, our mind should be renewed every morning we get up. That's why we need to go to prayer every morning. We need to spend time with God every morning and ask the Holy Spirit to renew our mind. that our mind might not be squeezed into the mold of the world, but that our mind might be renewed by the Spirit of God that'll help change our thinking, the way we think, the way we act, the way we react. So that's the balance of this incredibly new and great Christian walk. God gives us the desires. There's the change that takes place in our life. The Holy Spirit of God gives us the desires to change. He gives us, through the power of the Spirit, God does, the ability to pursue love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he says to us that we need to take the next step. It's up to us to take the next step in this life of change, in this life of discipleship that we're now going to walk in. He says he gives us the ability to do it. The Spirit of God is in us. The fruits of the Spirit are there for us to grab a hold of, to apply to our life and apply to the situations in our life. And then he says, you take the next step. And I'm reminded of passages like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. That's what you do. And then the proverb continues, and he will make your paths straight. That's God's part. So we trust in the Lord. We don't lean on our own understanding, but in everything, every way about us, we acknowledge him. And then he'll make our path straight. So our part is to acknowledge him in all of our ways. His part is that he'll make our path straight. So I say to you today that you've been converted. You are not the same person that you used to be. We are changed now. And it's in this new life of discipleship, to be a follower of Christ, to live for him, that the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to help us to carry out these changes, to help us to make these changes in our life. What we need to do now in this life of change, this life of being a follower of Christ, is to trust in him, to lean on him. You see, he's our rock. He's our refuge. He will direct our paths. He'll make our paths straight. You know, you and I are called to be the salt of the earth. And here's the thing about this life of change. We're called to be different from everyone else. We're called to talk differently, think differently, react to situations differently, to act differently. Life has to change because we're different. You're different now. You have a wonderful walk. It's a joyous walk as you're changed from one degree of glory to the next to look more like your Savior, Jesus Christ. So as I close, understand today that you've been changed. You've been saved. You've been sanctified. You've been redeemed. You were separated from God. You were dead in your sins. You've been forgiven. The cross became your bridge. You repented of your sins. The way you looked at Christ, your actions changed. In that repentance, you committed to change your actions, to turn your back on sin, to live new kinds of lives. That's what's so important about repenting of our sin. You started to think about Christ in a new way. You now see who he is and what he did. You committed through your repentance to turn your back on sin towards God and live a new kind of life. Now you are walking as a man or a woman of God. You're no longer guilty. You're no longer empty. You were justified. You were redeemed. You were sanctified, and you're continually being sanctified daily. You've been bought back. Christ shed his blood for you. You've been made a new creation. You're not now supposed to act like you used to act. I'm not supposed to act like I was before I gave my life to Christ. And I'll say this. There's so many things about my life that have changed, but I couldn't do it on my own. The Holy Spirit gives me those desires. And I pray every day, and I spend time with God, and I spend time in God's Word every day to grow closer to the Lord and to make those changes in my life to be different. I want to change more tomorrow than I was today. I want to be more like Christ tomorrow than I was today. I want my mind to be renewed when I wake up in the morning to be somebody completely different than I was today. I want to be that new creation, even more and more like Christ every day. So again, one degree of glory to the next. The Holy Spirit will help you look more and more like your Savior, Jesus Christ. So change. You've been changed. Your life is different. Don't live like you used to. Don't look like you used to. Don't talk like you used to. You're a new creation in Christ. Go out into your world and show your world that you live in that there's a change that took place. I'll tell you something. It'll make a difference in other people's lives. Those who have never been converted, have never come to Christ, they'll look at you and go, wow, what's different about you? There's something changed. And you're going to realize, you know what? Yeah, there is. I have a different life. I'm not who I used to be. And that's glorious. And that's awesome. And that's our miracle working power of Almighty God. So praise God for you today. Praise God that you're changed. Walk in that change. Amen. I hope you enjoyed today's teaching. We're going to go on to class number 3. It's going to be awesome. So remember, walk in the fruit of the Spirit today. And we will see you next time. God bless you. And walk changed. Thank you for joining us today on this podcast. We pray that you were inspired and encouraged. And until next time, remember to live all out for Jesus Christ. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.